Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us today. Read Hebrews 12. We look forward now to words of exhortation from Josh Kerr.
Well, good morning, brothers, sisters, and young people. I'm very excited to share what I have prepared for you today. My title this morning is Keeping the Goal in View. Now, when I say goal, some of your minds may have gone straight to the World Cup, but don't worry, after Australia's result, I think it's probably best to move on quickly. You can laugh. The main lesson I want you to take away this morning is that perspective does not make trials easy, but it helps you persevere through them. It reminds us that God is still with us, that He is still working, and that the kingdom is the ultimate goal. When I looked at this word, perseverance, I wrote down what I thought it could mean. An action that is hard and exhausting, and the idea of simply pushing through trials when life is difficult. But the Cambridge Dictionary definition is a bit better, I think. The word persevering, explained by the Cambridge Dictionary, is an adjective used to describe someone who continues to pursue a goal or complete a task despite challenges, obstacles, or discouragement. The key word here is despite. To keep going and keep trying, knowing that there will be lows in our lives where it is harder to give our all to God. I don't know about you, but when I hear that definition, it sounds very much like our walk to the kingdom, continuing toward the goal that God has set before us, despite the challenges and discouragements we face along the way. And I'm sure that for many of us, receiving the gift of the kingdom is the greatest goal of our lives. The other half of my title is perspective. Easy enough. We all have a good idea of what the word perspective means, but the Cambridge definition is this: a particular way of viewing or considering something that depends on an individual's personality or experience. Now, putting these two words together can really change the way we go about our day-to-day lives and walks towards the kingdom. And the Bible gives us so many examples, and the one I have chosen today is Joseph. So please turn with me to Genesis 37. The story of Joseph. Joseph was a man who went from being a slave to becoming second in command in Egypt. He helped save Egypt through a seven-year famine, persevered and protected his family, and had the moral integrity to forgive his brothers. But as we are about to read, and as many of you know, it was not easy. He had to persevere through each chapter of his life. So starting at verse 1 from the ESV. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel, his father, loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Then Joseph had a couple dreams that his brothers were not too pleased about, and when he went out to see them, they had already been conspiring to kill him. When Joseph came to them, they decided to throw him into a pit where there was no water. Further down in verse 26, then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. And in chapter 37, verse 36, meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Joseph was only 17, and his 10 brothers had been planning how to kill him before they ended up selling him into slavery. He must have felt shock, grief, and abandonment, and maybe even feared for his life. especially after just telling his family about his dream that they would one day bow down to him. I think as a 17-year-old boy, he may have been feeling all those emotions. But when we turn a couple of pages to chapter 39, it shows us how Joseph responded during his time in slavery to Potiphar. Chapter 39, starting at verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Joseph could have looked at his slavery and thought, God has forgotten me. He could have become bitter, lazy, resentful, or angry. But Genesis 39 shows the opposite. Even as a slave, Joseph lived in a way that made it obvious that the Lord was with him. Potiphar could see something different in Joseph. His circumstances had changed, but his perspective had not. He still served faithfully, worked diligently, and trusted that God was present with him, even in a place he never chose to be. We continue his story in verse 7 of 39. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." We are told that Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph day after day, but he refused to listen to her or be with her in that way. Eventually, she chose a time when no one else was in the house and again tried to be with him. When she grabbed his garment, Joseph fled, leaving it behind. She then twisted the story and told Potiphar that Joseph had tried to lie with her. As a result, Joseph was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. Joseph's perspective was tested again. He had done the right thing, yet he suffered for it. He could have become bitter and thought, what is the point of serving God if this is what happens? But Joseph did not stop being faithful. Even in prison, he continued to serve, work, and trust. His perspective was that God was still with him, even when life looked unfair. Joseph chose to remain faithful despite being thrown into prison, not knowing what might happen next. But because of who Joseph was, it says in verse 21 of 39, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Joseph persevered because he did not let the prison define his faith. He let God's presence define his perspective. That is why even in the lowest point of in the lowest place, his life still prospered in God's hands. So when we are treated unfairly, as Joseph was, what does our response reveal? Does it show bitterness and resentment? Or does it show that we still trust God is with us? One key lesson here is that faithfulness in hardship often open doors for God's blessing. Here are some other examples. Paul and Silas, after being beaten and imprisoned, prayed and sang hymns. Instead of complaining, they worshipped. Their response led to the jailer's conversion in Acts 16. Daniel was taken captive to Babylon, but he continued to serve God faithfully and became a blessing to an entire kingdom. David was hunted by King Saul for years and lived as a fugitive. Even though God had promised him the throne, he had opportunities to kill Saul, but he chose to show mercy and do what was right, and he was rewarded. Now, coming back to Joseph, after spending years in prison, he was released to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Through the power of God, he told Pharaoh there would be 7 years of great plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Pharaoh then appointed him second in command over all of Egypt. Chapter 41, starting at verse 40, "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command." Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And they clothed him in garments of the fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in the second chariot, and they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up your hand or foot in the land of Egypt. Joseph went from being a slave to a prisoner to becoming ruler of Egypt under Pharaoh. The lesson is not that perseverance always leads to promotion and riches on the earth. The lesson is that Joseph remained faithful in every season. Faithful in the pit, faithful in Potiphar's house, and faithful in prison long before he was faithful in the palace. Joseph's circumstances changed from slave to prisoner to ruler, but his perspective never changed. He kept living as God was with him. Because he persevered in the hard seasons, he was ready when God opened the door to the next season. If God opened the palace door tomorrow, would you be ready to walk through it? Your readiness for the palace is shaped by your faithfulness in the prison. Now, my idea for this talk came from my amazing wife, Sophie. She has struggled with mental health for most of her life, and it comes and goes. In other words, there are good seasons and there are bad seasons. Well, in the last 6 months, Sophie has been working through a book called The Thrive Program, which is a workbook written by an English man named Rob Kelly. And to summarize, the book is about learning to thrive in your life with what you have and how to challenge unhelpful beliefs and thoughts that you have picked up along the way that are not helping you to thrive. I've spent some time reading this with her, and there is a common theme throughout the book, and that is that you have to keep going despite all the challenges you face, and you must remember the goal at the end of the day. The book mentions a theory called the Stockdale Paradox. A man named James Stockdale was held as a prisoner of war in Vietnam for more than 7 years. And when he was interviewed, after he was asked how he survived, Stockdale explained that he never lost faith, that he would ultimately make it home. However, he also refused to deceive himself about how hard his situation really was. Stockdale noted that the prisoners who struggled most were often the optimists who kept expecting to be released by a specific date. When those expectations were repeatedly disappointed, they became increasingly discouraged, lost hope, and found it harder to cope with the prolonged uncertainty and hardship. I feel this is a perfect example of how we should live. You're allowed to face the facts that your reality is not how you want it to be. Maybe it actually really sucks, and you do not want to be in this position. However, at the same time, we must maintain our faith that God is with us and Christ will return. This will ultimately help us through. And I'm aware that this is obviously much easier said than done, particularly when you're in the depths of your pain, sickness, grief, anxieties, depression, and so on. But we must keep our faith strong on our own goal, which is the kingdom of God. That idea has really helped me think about perseverance in a more practical way. It is not about pretending life is easy, and it's not about ignoring the facts of what we are going through. It is about facing reality honestly, while still holding on to the bigger truth that God is with us, and that his kingdom is still the goal. And that naturally makes me think of Daniel, because Daniel did not suddenly find faith when he was thrown into the lion's den. His courage in the crisis was built long before that, through the quiet habit of turning to God every day. Even when the law was against him, Daniel still opened his window and prayed, just as he had always done. His daily focus on God shaped his perspective, so that when the trial came, he was ready to learn. He was already learning to trust God through it. That is the power of daily habits. Whether it is prayer, reading the Bible, journaling, or simply stopping to refocus our thoughts, those little daily choices help train our perspective They help us hold fast when life becomes difficult. So what might this look like for us this week? I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I get motivated and think, next week I'm going to build a better habit. I'm going to read the Bible more, pray more, and reach out to people more. But when the week starts, life gets busy. And before long, I forget. Or I miss one day, then the other, and honestly, it gets frustrating when I feel like I am failing at the same thing over and over again. One practical thing I found helpful is this. There is actually a name for it, and it is called habit stacking. The idea that if we want to build a new habit, we can attach it to something we already do every day. Instead of only say, I should pray more, we might say, after I make my morning coffee, I will pray for 2 minutes, or after I brush my teeth at night, I will read one psalm. The habit we already have becomes the reminder for the habit we want to build. Over time, those small, repeated moments begin to shape our perspective. They are not huge, dramatic acts of faith, but they are daily choices that help keep the goal in view. Daniel did not wait until the lion's den to start praying. Joseph did not wait until the palace to start being faithful. And we should not wait until life falls apart before we turn our eyes back to God. And I want to make it perfectly clear that I do not think having the right perspective means you can easily persevere through any trial or challenge that comes into your life. That would be too simple. And for some trials, it would almost be unfair to say that. Trials can be painful, exhausting, confusing, and at times overwhelming. Having the right perspective does not mean the struggles disappear. It does not mean we never feel afraid, discouraged, anxious, or weak. But what perspective can do is help us know where to look when trials feel too heavy. It reminds us that we are not carrying the burden on our own. It helps us to keep coming back to God, even when our thoughts and emotions are difficult to control. Perspective does not always remove the burden, but it can help us keep walking with God while we carry it. And we do not have to carry it alone. We can lean on our brothers and sisters, our friends, and our family. When we are low, we should feel able to seek help from those around us. And when we are strong, we should be willing to help carry the burdens of others. We are not alone. And as a member of Hyde Park, I feel truly grateful for the support, kindness, and care shown to those in need. And I think that is really important because perseverance is not about pretending we are fine. It is about continuing to turn to God, continuing to take the next faithful step, and continuing to hold fast even when the trial is still there. Sometimes I can feel it can be easy to lose perspective on the end goal. Personally, I am guilty of getting caught up in work, weekend plans, sports games, and everything going on around me, to the point where I find it challenging to see my goal clearly, to make it to the kingdom of God. Brother AJ Pitcher said it perfectly, "Hold fast to the faith and never lose sight of what it is all about." And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 3, Paul says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He then tells Timothy to endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. A powerful example of this is Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he ever reached the cross, we see him facing the weight of what was coming. In Matthew 26, verse 38, Jesus says, "My soul is very sorrowful. Even to death, remain here and watch with me." That shows that Jesus did not pretend the trial was easy. He felt sorrow, the pressure, and the heaviness of the moment. But the important thing is what he did with the burden. In Matthew 26, verse 39, he prays, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That is perseverance with the right perspective. Jesus was completely honest about the suffering in front of him, but his mind was still fixed on the Father's will. He did not choose the easier path. He chose obedience. His perspective was not controlled by fear, but by trust in God's purpose. Luke adds that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and that's from Luke 22, verse 44. I find that really powerful, because Jesus' agony did not push him away from God. It drove him closer to God in prayer. He persevered by continuing to turn to his Father, even when the path ahead was painful. And this brings us directly back to our reading this morning, Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, where Paul says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." That is exactly what we see in Gethsemane. Jesus was not only looking at the pain in front of him, he was looking beyond to the joy, the purpose, and the kingdom that God has set before him. His perspective gave him the strength to persevere. So for us, Hebrews 12 is not just telling us to try harder. It is telling us where to look. We persevere by looking to Jesus, because he has already shown us how to endure suffering with our eyes fixed on God's purpose. So as we remember Christ this morning, let his example strengthen our perspective and deepen our perseverance. When our own trials feel heavy, we look to him, the one who endured the cross because his mind was fixed on the joy set before him. His perspective helped him persevere, and his example teaches us to keep going too. Perseverance is not just pushing through in our own strength. It is holding fast because we can see the goal. It is keeping our eyes on the kingdom, trusting that God is still working and continuing to take the next faithful step, even when the trial has not gone away. So let us not lose sight of what it's all about. Let us keep looking to Christ, keep holding fast to the faith, and keep persevering through perspective until that day when the kingdom is no longer just our hope, but our reality.